Welcome to our South Carolina Lead Sign and Die mini pod. I'm Gavin Jackson. The first year of the two-year legislative session just ended. This was one of the busiest days up here in the State House, with bills needing to be passed by 5 p.m. or be stuck with hundreds of others in the state of suspension till House and Senate lawmakers return in January. Lobbyists were glued to monitors in the lobby as they watched both chambers tackle bills, and us reporters were running around trying to keep track of all those bills as well. Now, there are several top bills that have passed both chambers but have conflicts and will be taken up in conference committees made up of three House and three Senate lawmakers. Others are on their way to the governor's desk for his signature or veto. Now, this mini-pod is focusing on action that happened just today, and we'll get more into the big items that didn't pass this session, surprises, what got close, and what is on the way to the governor's desk in next week's legislative recap episode. Joining me to discuss the state of play in a now quiet State House lobby is the Post and Courier's Jamie Lovegrove and the state's Mayon Schechter. Guys, thanks for making time for us today on this sign and die.
Thank you.
I'm quiet. Thrilled to still be in the State House
here. I echo exactly what Jamie said.
Don't worry, we're going to get to Tin Roof soon.
Yep. They're waiting for us. They're going to hold it open.
We made that reservation, right?
Yeah, even though we might want to go see the basketball game. Just wanted to apologize for our listeners, too, that we've been spamming you guys this week with our pod. We had the trail bite, and now we have this. But you know what? A lot of stuff happened this week, so here we are.
More content.
Jamie, I want to start with you talking about the Panthers bill. Just kind of do a quick little scene setter about, you know, when we last talked about this on the podcast on Tuesday and what it's kind of been like since Tuesday here in the State House and what today was somewhat like.
I guess we did talk about it.
Yeah, right? Wasn't that forever ago?
It moved very slowly and gradually through the Senate this week, as we talked about on the pod last, this week's pod. Mm-hmm. It had already gone through the House in March, flew through, and Dick Harpootlian, a Columbia Democrat, had put a hold on it. He had problems with it and never really got the answers he was looking for from the Commerce Department and the governor's office. But he agreed to, as we said he was going to, he agreed to withdraw his hold on the bill in exchange for about 20 to 25 minutes of floor time to lay out in great detail his concerns with the bill and his concerns with the fact that the Commerce Department does not have much oversight when they are handing out tax incentives to corporations to try and get them to come to South Carolina, as we are doing with the Carolina Panthers here. Ultimately, after a couple of days, they kicked it to the final day of the session here, made for a dramatic last day, went for a couple more hours of debate today as the clock was ticking. Ultimately, it was a 27-15 vote to approve it. There was 15-3 Democrats supported it, 12-11 Republicans voted against it, so there's actually more Democrats, but it was not a partisan bill one way or the other. It was really kind of a more ideological about how you feel about the role of government in luring corporations to South Carolina. So now they're going to go to conference because there are some minor differences between the House and Senate versions that they're going to have to work out, and they'll come back and most likely approve whatever they come together with on May 20th, and the Panthers are one step closer to building a practice facility in York County.
Am I on? This was all about tax incentives too. I mean, I think we get lost in the jumble because this does open the door for those tax incentives, but in order for that to happen, for them to get the $150 million they need to change the law, which is what this bill is about.
Right.
And Harpootlian was really worried about giving away the farm, like Jamie was talking about, and then there's also some infrastructure investment too that we don't really know how's getting funded. Did anything surprise you in how it kind of went down today, or was this kind of as expected, this debate, despite maybe it being a little bit longer, more drawn out?
I think for the most part, this debate was as expected. I mean, we knew that Senator Harpootlian was going to cause a bit of a storm around it. He has, obviously, for weeks. We weren't sure, though, to begin with, when he would necessarily take his name off. But obviously, Santee Cooper, the future of that, took precedent over the Panthers. But it definitely ended in a very dramatic fashion. I think what's interesting is that it did pass. And there was a lot of thought, even yesterday, that they might not have the votes to do it. There were plenty of Republicans who were really very fiercely opposed to this legislation, being that 2020 is an election year. They're going to have to go back to their district and explain to their voters why they were voting on this bill. I mean, the whole argument from including Harpootlian and Republicans was that this is a project that is largely going to impact York County, Rock Hill. It's not going to touch the Lowcountry. It's not going to touch the Midlands and other parts of the state that have desperately needed infrastructure improvements or industry. So it's going to be interesting how that trickles down next year with some of these folks. I mean, obviously, people like Senator Wes Clymer will have a much easier time explaining to his constituents why he voted for this legislation.
Go ahead, Jenny.
I mean, I was just going to say, you know, while Harpootlian was the senator who was leading the opposition to this, the grassroots opposition to this was mostly coming from the right. Mm-hmm. It was coming from conservative talk radio who felt this was corporate welfare and that we were giving money to a multi-billionaire, you know, who can pay and you know, take the costs of coming here. But at the end of the day, the business community has always had a significant pull in the South Carolina State House. The chamber heavily pushed for it. Five mayors from tourism heavy cities in South Carolina wrote a letter to the legislature this week saying they had to pass it. And so at the end of the day, you know, big business often ends up winning here.
And speaking about the right opposition to this, we did see Senator Larry Grooms, a Republican, come out and mention about the owner of the Panthers, David Tepper, and his comments about President Donald Trump. We're going to play that clip right now.
It concerns me when the owner of that team calls our president a demented, narcissistic scumbag. If this was a reference to the former president of the United States, we wouldn't even be having this discussion today.
I don't know how much that really affected the debate, or was
it
that
really
just one of many things that we... Because
there.
There was, I think it was other amendments in there, but they
really
didn't go anywhere, essentially.
Rails.
But Jamie, just to kind of get on the rails really quick, there were some amendments that did make it in there, including the sunset provision and then some other provisions dealing with...
And that's what they're going to have to work out in the conference. My understanding, as I was talking to House leadership today, is they did not really have a big issue with the sunset provision. Basically, the sunset provision is going to make it so that the bill only lasts for 3 years. So if another sports team wants to take advantage of this, they're probably also going to have to come to the legislature for approval. They're not going to automatically get the same deal the Panthers did. The other amendments have to do with tax incentives in Tier 3 and Tier 4 counties, which are the poorer counties around South Carolina. The Senate, a lot of Senate Democrats really wanted that. Some of them, that was the reason they voted for the bill. The House stripped it out, and that's what the central debate is going to be in conference over the next couple of weeks before they come back.
And again, we did see a lot of activity in the House and Senate today just because a big issue was senators adding language for another bill dealing with governor's appointment authority was added to all these other bills. So they had to strip those details out because it was no longer relevant. They put that ability to discuss the Senate Bill 1 into the signee-die resolution, which deals with the governor's appointment powers during recess. So really wonky stuff that caused a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
But the signee-die resolution was also the big one.
Drama.
It caused
because
a
they
lot
could
of
talk
drama.
About, yeah,
and it really inflamed tensions between, you know, already tensions were high between the governor's office and the Senate over these appointments. They have been ever since last year when Charlie Condon came up and they didn't vote on him for Santee Cooper chairman. They ended up going to the Supreme Court over it. They have not been seeing eye to eye on this for some time. And then McMaster really only further exacerbated it in some ways when he sent a letter to Stephen Morris, who had just been rejected as the director of the Office of Aging.
And overwhelmingly
said,
so.
Overwhelmingly so, 42-1 or something like that, or 41-2. And said that you can continue serving as acting director. You know, so these are a lot of agencies that you may not even know exist, but they do care about who is leading them. The Senate cares deeply about its responsibility of advising and sent the governor. You know, I talked to him about it, and they view the Senate as kind of overstepping their bounds and trying to pick and choose different people. So they are at a messy point in their relationship.
Yeah, and I think the Senate was also really stuck. I mean, given what happened with the Supreme Court decision and Charlie Condon, the Senate did not have a lot of legroom to try to figure out how to solve this issue. And for them, starting Tuesday, they started attaching these really poisonous amendments to bills, including the Panthers bill.
And the House, you know, we just had a press conference right before here with Speaker Jay Lucas, and he basically said that they did not want to be caught in the middle of a fight between the Senate and the governors.
They didn't want to play the referee.
And that's what the position they've been in, because the Senate passed a bill at the beginning of the session, this S1 bill that we keep hearing about, which would limit the governor's appointment powers. The House has sat on it. They haven't voted one way or the other. And I think what he's effectively saying is we don't want to have to vote one way or the other, because then we're choosing between, you know, the Senate or the governor on this fight that's been going on for a long time. But at the same time, you know, he said that they don't have an interest in this because they don't, they do not appoint these, they don't name these appointments and they don't confirm these appointments.
Correct.
So they technically do not have a stake in it, but they do have a stake in.
No, but they fund, they
right,
fund,
they
the
fund these agencies.
Agency.
They
right.
have a stake in the good of South Carolina. So it's surprising that they actually did not do anything on this at all for the entire session. Mm-hmm.
But again, that's in the Sunny Day resolution now too.
It is.
As well.
It
so
is.
The Sunny Day resolution is technically what they can take up after today, which after 5 p.m.
Well, my understanding of what they did in Sunny Day, and I have to take a closer look at it. Mm-hmm. My understanding is they basically enacted S1 for the year. Mm-hmm. So they basically have limited the governor's appointment power. This was the compromise. Mm-hmm. We're not going to pass S1 in perpetuity, but we will limit the governor's appointment powers to the rest of 2019, mm-hmm. and then we can rehash this S1 debate at the beginning of 2020 and
with
decide what
else,
we want to do for the future.
With
yes,
everything else with everything in 2020. Else. And then also Santee Cooper is also in the Sunny Day resolution too. We don't have to go too much into that if you don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, the very technical disagreement between the House and the Senate has to do with sort of whether there's going to be a deadline for the bids, you know, mm-hmm. all that. Basically, the technicalities of the process, they are on the same page at this point in that they both want to move forward with the process of at least soliciting bids for Santee Cooper and deciding whether or not they either want to sell it or want to give it away to another utility to manage it. But they are, you know, they have some minor disagreements that they're going to have to work out in conference about the process.
Mm-hmm. And Mayan, we did hear the budget. There's now a budget conference committee. No surprise there. But do we think that there's going to be any major disagreements with them going forward with this, with the budget and debates between, you know, those differences?
I think for the most part, there's not going to be a whole lot of disagreements between the House conferees and the Senate conferees, between the House budget and the Senate budget. A lot of the line items, a lot of the way that both the Senate and the House funded things is pretty much the same, especially mm-hmm. these big ticket items, things like pay raises for teachers, mm-hmm. pay raises for other employees, state employees, money for SROs, money for
mental health counselors.
Mental health counselors, thank you. I don't think it's going to be like last year, mm-hmm. where basically negotiations came to a deadlock over money for a new sled lab. I don't see that happening this year. We heard from the speaker today, particularly about Merle Smith jumping into the role as Ways and Means Budget Chair. And what we've heard continuously about from both House and Senate is that they're happy with one another. They get along. They can negotiate a little bit easily than in years prior. So I don't see a huge fight like last year.
And it sounds like the speaker was saying the Senate came together along with the House to help make that compromise. I don't know if we're ever going to know who came to who, but I mean,
we physically saw the Senate came to the House.
It was like an old Western
explain
style.
To people that didn't
you know
what,
as the speaker said.
Can you elaborate on that, Jimmy, for people that didn't know what happened there?
So basically, they were having this issue where all these S1 amendments dealing with interim appointments were attached on all these bills. They had an hour left in the session, mm-hmm. and they had to pass a bunch of these bills or decide if they were going to go to conference or what they were going to do. And so they came over and reached this agreement where they limited the governor's appointment powers in the Sign and Die resolution and passed all these bills. But, you know, what I was struck by and what the speaker said was, you know, oh, well, a lot of senators are former House members, we have good relationships, and it shows that we're able to work effectively because they were able to come over, the six of us, mm-hmm. you know, sort of the heavy hitters were able to get in a room and work this out. You know, that shows that we can work well together. They waited until the last hour.
There are obviously some details that are missing from that story,
the fact that I think you could look at it the exact opposite way, which is the fact that it took until the last hour of the session mm-hmm. to reach that agreement, and they spent 3 days mm-hmm. fighting over this without even coming together to reach an agreement, shows that the tension between the House and the Senate are, you know, as fierce as they've been since the road bill, I think.
But everyone likes, I mean, that's, that honestly, the way that we talk about things getting done in this state, it's, you know, it's always the last minute or it's reactionary, so that's... Yeah. Kind of par for the course, too. But again, very tense. Signy Die today. Yeah.
And I don't know if this wraps itself up at the end of Thursday. I mean, especially that they're going to probably take this bill up again next year. Mm-hmm. I think we should expect some tensions. And as you heard from the Senate, there were senators who were particularly frustrated with the House not taking up their bills that mm-hmm. dealt with things like children. Katrina Sheely and Thomas McElveen were very, very upset about that. So I don't think this is the last time there's going to be tense meetings between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just kind of wrap up, we're going to get into other bills like we were talking about, the big losers and winners next week's episode. But Jamie, a big win today was really getting across the finish line was the solar bill.
Yeah.
That was pretty critical. It's been years in the making. And
yes.
Of course, there's been getting across now going to the governor's desk. Can you just elaborate about what is in that bill and what we can see going forward as a result?
Yeah, I mean, so last year, as folks may recall, it fell apart on the House floor in a very dramatic fashion on third reading, a very weird procedural tactic that sort of pro-utility lawmakers used to derail it. The dispute last year was mostly over rooftop solar, folks who buy panels for their homes and the way that they can get money back for the energy they're providing to the grid. This year, the debate was mostly over large-scale solar farms and, you know, how they set contracts with the utilities for, you know, what the utilities will pay for the energy that these solar farms are creating. There was a lot of disputes. Senator Wes Clymer, who's been involved in a lot of battles this year, he was obviously involved in the Panthers issue, mm-hmm. Had some problems with it. They were able to work out an agreement whereby he was more comfortable that ratepayers had protections if any of these prices dramatically fluctuated. It gets very wonky very quickly, so I won't bore you with the details. But ultimately,
it's a pro-solar bill that really helps expand solar.
They reached a compromise. Mm-hmm. Duke said they were okay with it, which was the big holdout. Dominion had really kind of taken a pass on this issue because they've been granting fairly generous solar contracts already anyway. Mm-hmm. And they passed it, and that really knocks out one of the big energy debates we'd had in the aftermath of VC Summer. I think what's going to be interesting to watch moving forward on energy is how folks who want to change the marketplace on a bigger scale, like Senator Tom Davis, can keep that conversation going now that they've already dealt with the big thorny issues on solar, at least for the next few years.
Mm-hmm. And then, like we said, there's some bills, some big bills that are in conference committee. They're going to be meeting in those committees over the next couple of days. The budget will be debated in conference next week, too. So we expect them, lawmakers, to come back the week of May 20th is what we're looking at in the Sunny Dive resolution for them to take up those bills and the budget as well. Any final thoughts or any final words about today or anything you guys want to add?
It's over.
It's kind of over.
Sort of over.
It's going to feel not very over when we come back on May 20th.
I think we have a clip from Senator Harpullian who might have a quote really quick to sum up the day.
The best.
The peachoid. She didn't see a peach, apparently. There is some inference that she saw.
You. You know,
something that caused her to apparently, right before her death, say, "Oh my God, it's a..." And it was never finished. It's as I looked at pictures of it, and I read the narrative about that episode, there's several different explanations of what shocked her. The nicest one would be that she confused the peach with the buttocks of somebody. That was the nicest thing I read. So for somebody, and again, this is all a matter of perspective, when you look at this deal or you look at the peachoid, it depends on what you see. Some people see a water tower extolling the virtues of peaches and Gaffney. Other people see a naked butt.
# Gaffneys.
That's right. We had a lot of activity today, including talk about the peachoid in the Senate. So never a dull moment, especially during Sine Die. And we'll be back next week talking about the winners and losers of the 2019 legislative session. But thank you right now to Jamie Lovegrove with the Post and Courier and Mayan Schechter with the State Newspaper.
Thank you.
RIP the 2019 session.